Again?
I just...
Blog Talk Radio.
We were doing this all the time! Don't ask any questions, okay?
What the heck?
Show a little bit.
Oh,
you know?
Good lord. Sounds like game show music from the 70s.
Hey, listen, like I said, I'm trying to learn the system, and at least I learned how to download a song for once.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully it'll work.
Yes. Okay, Sean Wilkerson. No, not Sean Wilkerson. Sean Black is your name, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of The Absolute Truth. I am your host with the most, a.k.a. the King of Kings, the Hot Rod, sitting here with...
Sean Black.
Sean Black, how was your weekend? Huh? It doesn't matter about your weekend, you know? You know why? Because we have a lot to talk about.
Big show.
Big show indeed. Okay, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Unless you have been living underneath a rock... We are here to talk about a white cop, black man, same story, same result again. About last Saturday in South Carolina, there was another cop killing of an unarmed man. Officer Michael Slayer, 33 years old, stopped Walter Scott, 50 years old, for a broken taillight.
Yeah, or so he says.
Quote unquote, yes.
Yeah.
Broken tail light, because we don't know the full story about that.
Yeah.
So, Walter Scott run away from the cop, and the cop shot 8 times behind Walter Scott, and I'm killing him, of course.
Now, remember, there's one piece of the story that you're missing. You're not even talking about the fact that he got tased first. Remember, he pulled the taser out on him and tased him in the back of the leg. And as he kept on going, that's when he shot him. He shot him 8 times. Now, the part of the story that's really messed up about this whole thing was that the cop accused Walter Scott of going after his taser, which is the reason why he said he shot him. He's running away from the cop. As anybody that's seen the video, if you haven't seen the video, it's quite disturbing. But if you look at what happened, he's running away from the cop. The cop obviously doesn't want to run after him. Maybe he had too many donuts. Who knows? In any event, the man is running away from him. He shoots him 8 times. After the guy is down, this is the part that really gets me. Guy's on the ground after being shot. He walks over to him. He drops the taser that he accused Walter Scott of going after
no,
in the
first place. He went to check the guy after the guy was on the floor. He went back,
yes.
Grabbed the taser,
then dropped it next to him. Then he put the handcuffs on him, and then he walked away.
Because he knew what he did was wrong, but he had to cover his behind.
Exactly.
So when a shooter happened, the cops have in your window of, 24 or 48 hours to come up with a story.
Yes.
Of what had happened.
Yeah.
And the reason why, and he did come up with a story that he felt that his life was threatened by Scott, but he could have gone away with the story if it was not for the video.
Exactly.
It's a video that changes everything.
Yes.
And this video was captured by a standby of Santana. I forgot his first name. Santana captured the video and brought it towards the family, and the family lawyer gave it to the New York Times, and, of course, the whole world saw the video.
Yes.
Which was very sickening and disturbing.
Yes, very.
So, wow.
Yeah.
At that part, where do we begin about this story?
Yeah, there's so many levels and layers to this story that we haven't even touched on. And I believe the first thing is you can go in a bunch of different ways. You can tackle this from... Why did this happen in the first place? You could tackle the aspect of the man in the car with the taillight. Did he need to get out of the car? You could tackle the idea of why do we have so many cops that are power tripping, power hungry, that go after people that have no reason to have been fired at. You also can go after the disproportionate amount of arrests and what we're seeing over the last, it seems to be the last couple of years now, an escalation of African Americans and minorities actually being put in situations where the cops are going after them for whatever reason and being killed. And the other part about it, which we've all talked about before and we've seen and have heard as talking points, why does it seem that every time something like this happens, the cop or cops involved seem to get away with it, whatever the situation is?
All right. Let's start with the first thing that I am outraged about first, when I first read about the story, is the media.
Yeah.
Portraying of this story, like every other story, always about the race.
And that's what sells.
Because when I first read in the New York Post, a white Southern cop was charged murder Tuesday after a shocking video showed him shooting a black man in the back.
Yeah, and that's from the New York Post.
And that's the New York Post. But if you look at the picture, you see it's a black man, and you see it's a white guy.
Yep.
Now, unless you're blind,
yes,
you can see that, but why the media, not just the Post, other outsourced media, has to portray a white cop, black man?
And that's what happens. First of all, the two biggest taboos as far as the media goes, as far as those hot-button issues that will always grab headlines, are gay, lesbian rights, anything that happens within the LGBT community, and racism, especially when it comes to police officers and anyone in power, anything that's associated with someone of another race keeping down someone of an opposite race or of another race for whatever ill-gotten gains or whatever.
But why cannot be a Southern cop shooting a man?
It will never be looked at in that light.
It was a white guy, white cop. It was a black cop, white guy.
Yeah.
Would be the same thing.
And you want to know something? It probably wouldn't get anywhere near the media that this is getting now. I guarantee you, if the shoe was on the other foot and we saw a white guy get gunned down by a black cop, we would probably be hearing this guy should be suspended. He's done such and such and such as reverse racism, all of these things that have gone into play when it comes to looking at the situation as what it is, which is a cop killing somebody. I'm not saying there's an innocent man, because as you gave the backstory to, the main issue is he bolted from the cop after the cop said he had a busted taillight. We don't know if there's any proof to that being true or not. We haven't seen any pictures of the car.
From the first video you saw, the cop tailgating Scott.
Yes.
Scott was coming out the car. The cop was yelling at him to stay inside the car.
Yeah.
He's coming back out. He told him to stay in your car. Then Scott decided to run.
Yeah.
Why he decided to run, only he and God knows.
Yeah.
Yes, there's a fear of going to jail because he has a history of failed child support.
Yeah.
Which down there, if they catch you with failed child support, he owed like maybe $18,000.
Over $18,000, and I believe he had five kids.
Four kids.
Five different women, I believe.
Yes.
And I don't think that's necessarily the case as far as the important part.
True. Maybe
that's a sentence of death, jail time if he was busted. It's probably in his mind. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what? I'm not going back to jail. And that's probably where it came from.
He was scared. He was not thinking straight, understood. When we're scared, we do stupid things sometimes.
Mm.
So you run. But here's my problem. And this one might piss a lot of people off, but I tell it like it is. What are you doing running from the cop?
Yeah.
As a black man, as we know the story many, many times, what are you doing running from the cop? So that's the first thing right there. I'm not saying Scott started any trouble, but you're running from a cop, so what do you expect the cop going to do?
Exactly.
Run after you. And that pissed Michael off even more. Like, now I got to run and chase after you down.
Yeah.
The proper way, maybe he did take out his taser trying to take him down.
Yeah.
It did not work. So the officer is extremely upset now.
Yeah.
So his mentality is all screwed up.
Exactly.
So what do? You take out a gun. The proper way to do it, if you shot someone in the leg or an arm, to put the man down. Well, we saw the beginning and the after. We did not see the drawing from the video. So he probably did tell the guy, don't move, stop. But Scott, once again, maybe scared for his life or whatever the reason could be, continued to run.
Yeah.
Now, if I see a cop pointing a gun at me, my ass is going straight to the ground. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because we all know that fear of cops. Whether the cop is white, black, Asian, Chinese, Spanish.
He's a cop, plain
as a cop. And we know there are some good cops, there are some bad cops. But this is a situation where a cop drawing a gun in front of your face.
Yeah.
So what made you think you want to start running?
Yeah. And the thing is, as we said before, we don't know exactly how long it took for this guy to go ahead and say, well, in my mind, this cop is out to get me. So let me go ahead and run. First of all, where was he going to go? You're not going to outrun a cop. Even if the cop is like 500 pounds and doesn't have, you know, it's plain and simple. Now, second of all, here's where the other instance comes in. As a police officer, knowing that you have what they say, we've got a runner. If the cop couldn't catch up to this guy, why did he not call for backup? If you have somebody that is that important to arrest, if you figure you fired a taser at him and nothing happens, and he's still running, because there are instances that we've seen on the internet and videos on the news where somebody's got hit with a taser, but they're on heroin or they're on bath salts or whatever drug they're on, and it doesn't faze them. So you have to use heavier ordnance to try to get somebody down and see what happens. Those kinds of things are prevalent when it comes to police officers trying to bring in a perpetrator or an alleged criminal that they're trying to bring in for either questioning or whatever they're trying to do. It happens. But see, the issue that we have here is that how much force is too much? When is what that cop did enough and above board based on his or her training?
When you have a gun, you feel like you have power.
Yeah.
So when a cop pulled out that gun, he felt like he had power. Did he got trigger happy? Of course.
Yeah.
8 rounds.
You don't have to empty a clip on someone who's running away from you. It's one thing if the guy was running toward you and you fear for your life. You don't know if this guy is going to try to kill you. That's a completely different argument. He's running away from you. So the threat is not toward going toward you. It's going away toward maybe other people, whatever's the case.
And that's what, when you watch this video, you're sick. Someone who's defenseless, running away from a cop, and he got trigger happy and shot 8 times, killing the poor guy, a father of 4. I'm sure he was a nice guy who just made a bad mistake that cost him his life.
Yeah.
But once again, gentlemen and ladies, if you don't want to die, you don't want to get shot by a cop, number one, obey the law.
Yeah. Stay put. If a police officer says, hands on the steering wheel, get out slowly, don't go for any sudden movements, because especially in the New York City area, the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, these cops are trained very early on. If you feel any danger in your life being risked, you have to protect yourself and ask questions later. And that's what a lot of cops do.
Because there's cops now these days with their training or their mentality, they shoot first, ask questions later.
Exactly.
So it's either me or you that's going down.
Yeah.
And most likely, it will be you.
Yes.
So, do you think the cop was racist or just racial profiling or?
Well, it's very hard to.
I ask that because once again, the media have to say white cop, black man, the racism continues.
Yes. Exactly.
Let's get the community, let's get the black community or the minorities upset by seeing another white cop, black man shooting.
Exactly. And the thing is, if you look at certain instances where you see any cop and any perpetrator or alleged perpetrator, it's not going to have the same zing or oomph on regular television as, let's say, you would say if you knew there was some difference in race. Like, for instance, if a crime happens, and I had this conversation with a friend of mine a couple of days ago.
You have a friend?
Yes, I have at least a couple of friends. So
I'm shocked. Well, carry on.
Bite your tongue. Anyway.
Out.
In the Jewish community, if some racist person decides to put up swastikas or any kind of anti-Semitic rhetoric or on a Jewish person's property, or say in any community, any Jewish community, it will be looked at as a hate crime. Now, that makes sense because you know that you cannot do something as racist as doing something like that in a Jewish community.
Okay.
But let's say, for instance, we have the same situation where if you see in the gay community, somebody does something that is homophobic, writing gay slurs or saying slurs or anything of that nature, writing graffiti that disparages gay or lesbian people, that is looked at as a hate crime if it's prosecuted. Same kind of scenario. Now, if the shoe is on the other foot, and let's say if a gay person does something to someone who is straight, would that be looked at as a hate crime? And those kinds of thought processes don't go into it because you don't think of it in that sense. Because when you think of a hate crime or a racist crime or something of that nature, you're always in that same archetype of black versus white, or anti-Semite versus Jewish person, or straight person versus gay person is looked at as a hate crime. If the shoe is on the other foot and it's flipped around, do you apply the same? And I think in keeping it in the context of this particular situation, if a black person went after a white person in this same way, if it was a black cop and it was going after a white person in the same situation, white person is in the car, busted taillight, black cop tells you to get out, so-and-so-and-so, whatever is the case. The white guy bolts because maybe he has child support, he has any number of crimes together. The black person guns the white guy down. Will we have the same outrage? Will we have the same prosecution as that being a hate crime if that's the case?
Not a hate crime, but people will be outraged because, once again, the media will, okay, we have a caller. Should we take a caller now?
Sure.
Okay. Give us 1 second, please.
Yes. And as Mr. Hot Rod tries to learn how
caller.
To record.
Hello, caller. You on the air?
Yo, what's up, DJ Walter?
DJ Walter in the house. What's up?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, man? What is this, Love Talk Radio? That's what I heard.
What's going on? Are you listening or are you just playing around with us?
No, I was listening, but then you have an automated girl there that comes out. She said, Love Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah, that's my mother.
Yes.
So what do you think about this white cop, black man story?
Man, you're not going to, well, I think the cop is wrong. I'm glad they caught him. I'm glad they caught him on video.
But if
people would stop running from the cop, they wouldn't get shot. I mean, I'm not saying what the cop did is right. I know he's wrong, and he should deserve to get jail time.
No, I agree with you 100%.
If people stop running and start obeying, a lot of these people will be alive. Why are you going to resist arrest? Come on. If the guy has a gun, you don't. Just listen to the damn cops and obey what they say.
No, I agree with you 100%, and I was about to bring that point up later. Like, if people just listen to the cops, Why are you going to run away knowing that there might be a fatal result?
And even if you're not guilty, running from the cops makes you look guilty no matter what you do. So why would you even risk it?
Wait, is that Sean? Sean from KRB?
Yes, that's Sean from KRB.
Yeah, yes, that would be me.
Video game Sean?
Yeah,
hey,
how are you
Sean,
doing?
You still playing video games at 40?
Yes, sir.
Well, I heard you always playing Call of Duty.
Well, Sean likes to shoot a lot.
Oh, bite your tongue. But yeah, still, I'm still the same person I was when I was in college. You know.
So that means you're unemployed.
Oh. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Anitra has just walked into the building now.
Sorry, I'm late. Traffic.
Who's that? Why is she late? She got stopped by the cops?
No, I hit traffic.
I hope you don't resist arrest.
Unfortunately, nobody died.
No. She's not get arrested because she's Caucasian.
No, I wouldn't get arrested because I have a really nice set of boobs. That's why I would not get arrested.
That's
why
I would say Caucasian with big breasts.
Exactly. Beautiful combination. Get it right.
Oh, definitely. She don't need a bulletproof vest then.
No.
No.
No, only Sean and I and a few others.
Of
that's
course.
All.
Well, Sean don't need a bulletproof vest, man. You can't die with video games getting shot at.
Oh, man.
Walter, thank you so much for calling.
Ronnie, you got to tell me a little bit more about the show, man, how you broadcast and stuff.
I will tell you later on, but I'm doing a show right now, you know.
All right, man. Have a good show, man.
All right, thank you so much for calling in. I will let you know how I'm doing it.
All right,
thank
cool,
you.
Bye.
All
okay,
right.
But like you were saying, Sean Black.
Yeah. I actually forgot where I was going.
Me too. No, we were talking about the racial profiling.
Yeah.
And you were coming with a scenario, it was the other way around.
Yeah, the shoe was on the other foot. You know, basically, as I said before, with my the hate crime analogy, how would you prosecute it or how would the attention go if the shoe was on the other foot? As I said before, you don't hear about, you know, you hear about if the Jewish person is somebody does something with a racial slur, or you hear about a gay or lesbian person that has something go against them. But if one of those parties did something to somebody that wasn't part of, let's say, Jewish community or gay community, would that be looked at as a hate crime? And if you bring it to the point of the cop who, being white cop, shooting a black person, and you hear all the same kinds of things, oh, this is a white guy shooting a black guy, it's the same thing, they get prosecuted. If the shoe was on the other foot, what would the reaction be? And that's the problem. We don't know. There seems to be no balance when it comes to that kind of thing.
I think the media like to portray that because they like to see outrage from Al Sharpton and the other crooked leaders for, hey, what?
That's
another
next.
White man?
That's next.
A what? Another white guy shooting another black person?
Yeah.
That's innocent? Time for a protest.
Exactly.
It's time to, you know, take action. It's time to go to Washington, D.C. Let's make our voices heard. But does all that protest work in the end?
It usually is the bottom line with everything is money. You know, if it's going to be feasibly sufficient to help somebody else out in a position of power and it makes financial sense, they'll go ahead and do the protest. And that's the sad part about it. Instead of it being an organic help of a particular community, you're going to see, well, how is it going to benefit this person, that person, that group, and see what happens from there. And that's usually what the case is.
Okay, so let's relate this to the other cases.
Yeah.
Eric Garner.
Yeah.
Another black man being killed.
Yeah.
Choke. That was videotaped. And same results. But the cop got cleared.
Yeah.
Do you think this white cop will be cleared out?
Well, I tell you, what the...
Hold that thought, because we have another caller.
Okay.
Oh, boy, here we go. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, brother? This is me, K-Dawg.
Hey, K-Dawg, what's up?
Hey man, this hey, what's up, Thorn? What's up, Hot Rod? What's up, Anitra? Late comer, even though you're late, but but anyway.
I hate the graphic.
Oh, it's fine. It's
so what's
up? Well, all I gotta say is that listening to the show, I'm hearing what you guys are saying. Well, number one, let me just start by saying this. Okay, we all know that there's a situation involving the police and those in the black and Hispanic community. Am I correct?
Yes.
And with everything that's going on, there have been some issues involving, like, let's just say, when routine stops, they tell you, even there's been instructions going on in the community telling people, you know, not to run away from the cops. And,
okay.
Yeah, you know, it's been going on. Now, we all know not to do that because it makes you guilty. But, however, there's been many instances that has happened with police shootings involving a lot of unarmed black or Hispanic men. And it's happened. And now this case, the reason why it's making such a big deal because of where it happened. You know, it's
what,
and you know, a lot of
where it happened. Happened down south?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, especially what happened in the south, that people are, you know, upset, people are talking about it all over. And you know, yesterday they even showed the funeral on TV. There was a lot of politicians that showed up. But the good thing is, at least one person who was not invited, we all know, guys, I know a lot, I'm going to take a lot of heat for saying this, it was good that Reverend Al Sharpton was not there.
Yeah, he was not invited because they don't need him over there.
Yeah.
No, they really don't need him over there. And I've said this for the longest, that he's not that much of a good black, he's not a leader at all because he's only there when the cameras are on. And
well,
you know,
he has to make his money somehow.
Of course he does, man. He's a hustler.
Yeah, but to be
but,
fair, he has done a lot of good.
No, Al Sharpton has not done good.
No,
he's a crook. He's a scam artist. He's full of it.
He is. He's full of it. And I've been saying this for the longest. He's a clown. He's a clown.
Okay.
But,
it sounds like you're on the run from the cops yourself from back there, from what I'm hearing.
Well, let me see. Well, I'm almost at one because, well, basically, I'm just hanging out at the top of the museum.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, that sounds bad. But anyway, man, you know, I was just listening on the show, and I got to say, man, this is a very interesting topic, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to be giving their own opinions about it.
All right, Kato, appreciate the call. Thank you so much, man.
Hey, man,
and be careful. Don't get shot by the cops, okay?
Oh, no, I'm going to run my hands up.
All right,
guys. Later.
All right. Thank you. Okay.
This is interesting.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, I simply Google.
You Google what?
I my exact words were white cop shoots black man.
Mm-hmm.
And look what pops up.
Okay.
Out of curiosity.
Yeah.
Just,
and I'll read what it says.
Well, you know, I can't see.
U.S. cop filmed shooting fleeing black man charged with murder. You know, you don't. It doesn't take much to find out where all of this stuff comes from. And this is just a regular Google search.
Yeah.
It just it'll pop up. You know.
What was the question I asked you earlier? I don't remember.
I don't even remember anymore.
Okay.
And
right.
I'm the sober one.
Yeah. No, we're all drinking water right now.
Water.
Yes.
Yeah, well, let's get back to Michael Slager and Walter Scott.
Yeah.
I know something about racial profiling. But you know what? Let's just go to the next question. The man is, his wife is 8 months pregnant.
Yeah.
He has two stepsons. People was trying to open up a GoFundMe for the officer. Why you want to open up an account to collect donations for a guy that killed someone, a murderer?
Exactly. Now, it's one thing if you're looking at it from the family side of he has an 8-month pregnant wife.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna have they're gonna have bills and insurance payments and all the other stuff. Then it looks and it, just from the outside looking in, it doesn't look like you're supporting the family. It comes across as if they're supporting the cop.
Well,
and that's
the
problem.
The first one did. It was trying to support the cop.
Yes.
Which GoFundMe.com dropped it right away.
Exactly.
But they don't want to be, you know, held accountable. Like, why you want to support a murderer?
Yes.
Or someone that killed someone. In that case, a lot of people open up donations.
Exactly.
For people that kill people.
Yeah, and it was the anonymous organizer that you just talked about. They called it the Michael T. Slager Support Fund. Basically, after they announced the charges against him, that's when it actually opened up. And then this is the quote from the GoFundMe website. After review by our team, the campaign set up for Officer Slager was removed from GoFundMe due to a violation of our terms and conditions. And they didn't really go too much further on into that.
Of course, but they want to keep their hands clean.
Yeah, they don't want any more controversy brought to their door. And see, the problem with that is that we've seen a number of these Kickstarter-type fundraising initiatives pop up in certain times and certain things. The timing of this, Kim's really, really is really bad.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds bad, and it looks like you know, the people that are organizing it, they almost make it look like they're supporting the bad deed. And GoFundMe doesn't want that particular bad rep coming back to the website because of that.
And, well, let's talk about Reddit. Don't be surprised if the KKK set it up.
It wouldn't be a surprise.
Yeah. Hey, it could happen. Another white guy killed a black man. Who would be happy? The people that don't like black people.
Yeah.
The KKK or the other racist people.
Yeah. And those kinds of things happen, you know? I mean, when you're looking at all of the variables that happen in these kinds of cases, and this is starting to become a trend over the last couple of years, much more so than ever before, it doesn't happen that often, or I should say it doesn't get reported as often. But the problem is it's much more pervasive than anybody thinks, because we're starting to see instances of cops acting out, instances of police officers that have that sense of power that they didn't have when they were younger. They get into a position of power, and then they're in a position where they want to just flaunt it out to everybody. And it trickles into when they arrest somebody. Oh, I'm a cop. I have a badge. Let me show you what I can do. Don't piss me off. And in an instance that something very similar happened, there was a story that I wanted to bring up that's kind of pertinent to this, but it was a case from sometime last week. It was a Minneapolis cop caught on camera. It was a 17-year-old named Hamzi Jilani. Said he and his three friends had just finished playing basketball at the YMCA on March 18th. They were pulled over by the cops. Jelani told NPR News, basically, that they made a U-turn when they saw the police because they were trying to avoid a confrontation. What ended up happening is one of the passengers in the car decided to record the confrontation, trying to avoid the confrontation. And the white cop basically said, "Don't run, because if you run, I'll break your legs." And this 17-year-old is like, "You know, we're not trying to have anything happen. We're trying to avoid a confrontation. Just to let you know, I'm a cop. I don't want to. I'm being polite." This was all caught on camera by local Channel 9 News in Minnesota. And this is kind of part of what's going on with this whole situation. The perception is you see African Americans, no matter how young or how old they are, car in a car, on foot, if they get pulled over by the cops or they get confronted by the cops, the natural instinct for most African Americans is fear. They don't know what the cop is going to do. And that's kind of the sad part about this whole commentary, because if you're a cop, you're supposed to protect and serve and help. Well, and if you're on the other end and you're the person that's being talked to by the cops, you don't think about that because you're thinking of fear. I don't want to die today.
Okay. Are you afraid of cops, Sean Black?
I'm not afraid of cops, but I'm afraid what may happen if a cop thinks the wrong thing. But I'm generally not afraid of cops at all.
Are you afraid of cops, Anitra?
No.
But you're not afraid of cops, but I'm afraid of cops.
Mm-hmm.
For the same reason Sean is afraid of cops. Two black guys, mind our own business, walking down the block, coming from a hard day's work. Anitra, simple white girl, coming from work. Who might get harassed first? Single white female or two black guys, dressed normally, no chains, no nothing.
Yeah.
We're in a fear for our lives. Not you. Why? Due to racial profiling.
That's on both sides of the spectrum, though.
No, but you don't go through that type of experience. We go through that experience.
I understand it, but it's like about, what was it, like 10, 15 years ago, those two black cops thought it was really funny to drop a white teenager up in Harlem.
Yeah.
At 2, 3 in the morning.
Hmm.
It goes on both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, but that's like one of the rare cases.
Because they thought it was fun. No, one that we heard of.
Heard of, but that's the thing.
That's why
true.
I said a lot of these cases are underreported. That's the
true.
Other thing.
Yes, but guess
so
what?
Like, it's both ends of the spectrum.
No.
The reason why you hear about stuff like this is because, like I said earlier, you have men like Al Sharpton or like Jesse Jackson back in the day that they made it an issue.
Of course, because
you
that's where
the...
Yeah. No, girl, you don't go through that, because when you get stopped by a cop, they will let you go for the most part because you're a beautiful white lady. Sean, I get stopped by the cop, get out the car, search warrant, pedal down and everything. Why? because we fit the description of a robbery that happened. Two black guys. You don't go through that the same way we do. We're afraid for our lives. Black men are afraid for their lives now. So we have to be careful how we portray in front of the cops. Yes, there are good cops. There are bad cops. Yes, white people get harassed by the cops, Asian people, but they don't get recorded. Why? They don't sell the papers. They don't bring us media attention. Something about the black guy does.
The point is, it happens.
It happens, but not as much as we know
that
of.
That you know of.
And, but guess what? It will still continue. This white cop, black man shooting is not going to stop. We're going to hear another story about this again. As a matter of fact, there was another story that happened this week in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Eric Harris, he have a criminal record. He was running away from the cop. This thing, I don't understand it too much. The cop was 78 years old. I'm sorry. He is 78 years old.
Yeah.
He meant to tase the guy, but he pulled his gun out by mistake and shot the guy.
Yeah.
And he told the guy, I'm sorry, I meant to tase you. And the guy died from the shot wound.
Wow.
But what does a 70-year-old cop doing on the street chasing after a criminal?
Exactly.
And I could see him pulling out the gun by mistake instead of a taser because he's 78 years old.
Yeah.
He probably seen now by now. And he's running for his life, breathing hard, trying to chase this guy down.
Yeah.
But you hear about that story because, once again, white cop, black guy.
Yeah. And that's always become the impetus for ratings, for magazine sales, newspaper sales, blogs.
And talks like us.
Exactly.
That's what we're talking about right now.
And race will always be that hot topic that everybody will talk about but will kind of neglect to talk about too deeply because they don't know who they'll offend. They don't know if they say something in particular.
I don't care about that. This
own.
Show is about the truth. We will tell it like it is.
Oh, of course.
We will offend the world.
Yeah.
No.
If it gets us
you probably already have at some point.
Listen, no. Well,
the fact is,
you white guys don't have to worry about it too much compared to us black people. That's all I'm saying. You don't give me that look, Anisha. It's
that's
the truth.
That's not true.
No.
I deal with crap like that also.
But you could
on
get away with it.
On a different level.
But you could get
I
away
deal
with it.
Too.
Are you in jail now?
Are you?
Not yet, but I'm running for my life. I'm in hiding. Okay?
No,
my fat behind is hiding from the cops, okay?
Stop it.
Yeah.
The only reason why it's such a big deal to me is because people allow it to be. If people would concentrate on the positive and the good things that come out of things like this, you know.
What's positive about a man dying in the arm of a cop?
I'm just saying if they would instead of putting so much media effort and televising all this, put out something more positive.
Mm.
What's so positive? Because you have the Ferguson case. Of course, people go repair. Compared it to Ferguson and Eric Garner.
Yeah.
Once again, now remember, the video capture of Eric Garner.
Yeah.
Will bring me to my next question. Now they want cops to wear body cameras.
Yeah.
What's the point of that now?
Yeah. And the perception, I believe, is if Eric Garner could be strangled to death and have a heart attack and die on camera with somebody recording that, and it's shown that the police were negligent in this situation.
Hmm.
What is the point of having body cameras if those cameras aren't going to lead to some sort of a conviction? Anyway?
Because those cops could delete anything that they want on the camera.
Yeah.
There's a way.
I think there's a safe. I think that the body cameras have a safeguard against that. Once they are active, they stay recording, and then they stop, and the cops can't tamper with them. I think that's the fail-safe device against
that. Well,
there's
a will, there's a way.
Huh? Yeah. And that's what I think that's the premise of it. The only problem with that is from what has been told, those body cameras are very expensive. In a city that continues to bleed money left and right, they complain about not having the money, not having the funds. They can find money to do a lot of other things, you know. So
there's politics behind that as usual.
Exactly. So we'll find out. If the body camera thing becomes something permanent, is it something that is going to actually work? Are we going to have a situation where a cop is exonerated because a situation like this happens? And let's say just for argument's sake, we get a situation like this in New York City, and all of the exact same type of thing happens, but the perpetrator actually is in the wrong, and the cop has the body cameras to back him up. What will happen then? Are we going to have the same kind of situation, Is it going to say, well, you know, the body cameras basically back up the cops, is going to keep them honest, or are we going to have that skepticism of we don't believe anything that they do anyway because the cops, they get away with anything anyway?
Perfect example, the guy that choked Eric Garner. He got away with a murderer.
Yeah.
Oh, talk about murderer.
Mm-hmm.
The cop, Michael Slager, whatever his name is, he got fired from the force and Charles was murderer, which I have a problem with that. Do not be surprised he get away with it. Why? Because they charge him with murder and not manslaughter or reckless endangerment or something.
Yeah.
So when he does go to trial, they will find a way to make him go away scot-free.
Yeah.
And people that don't understand, there's a difference in charging between murderer and manslaughter.
Yeah.
Sean, take it away, please.
Yeah. Now, I'll give you the definition, at least in the eyes of the law, of what manslaughter is as opposed to what murder is. And then you can probably come to your own conclusion as to whether or not Michael Slager will actually be out of jail soon. Now, you have different forms of manslaughter. You've got voluntary, you've got criminally negligent manslaughter, involuntary. I'll just give you a couple of them so that you can kind of get the gist of where it is. Now, voluntary manslaughter in the United States has three definitions. You've got provocation, imperfect self-defense, and diminished capacity. Involuntary manslaughter, you've got constructive, criminally negligent, vehicular manslaughter. We know vehicular manslaughter is if you kill somebody in a car by accident, you were trying to avoid somebody, you try to back up and you run into someone. This will probably go under criminally negligent manslaughter if they're thinking about it, which was in jurisdiction basically would say if a person is so reckless as to manifest extreme indifference to human life, the defendant may be guilty of aggravated assault as well as involuntary manslaughter. And the difference, like I said, with manslaughter and murder has five different definitions. Unlawful killing of a human, killing of a human, and killing with malice aforethought. And it goes on and on and on, the different stages, all the different ways where you could be a victim, how it's prosecuted, all those things that are involved in the definition of murder and manslaughter. That's what the lawyers and that's what the prosecutors are going to have to try to break apart when they go ahead and define all of this stuff. But if he's being convicted of murder, do we, as the people that have seen this, think of this as murder? Of course.
Yes, of course.
Because it's one thing if there's no gray matter in there. There's no in-between. We know what happened, which is his back is turned. He's running from the cop. He's tased first and then shot at eight times. So we have that all on camera. That's all recorded. So that's not even an issue. If he was running toward the cop, different story. Then we'd be talking about self-defense, and it'd be a completely different story. But what we see is blatantly obvious. Running away, being shot at, being killed. Does that fall under murder, or does it fall under manslaughter? And that's what's going to be the issue if this goes to trial.
So he go to trial for whatever charges. Of course, we pray to God, you know, he goes to jail. But for the sake of argument, let's be real, he walks scot-free. Here comes the civil rights movement. Let's all march in and protest.
Yeah.
I've been saying this for a long time, people. I don't believe in protests. I don't believe in marches because it does not do a damn thing.
Well, I'll disagree with you on that.
You don't disagree with me. I'm Rodney Pierre, a.k.a. the Hot Rod.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's what I do. I understand, depending on what side of the fence you're on, I can understand where you would think that protests don't really work. It depends on what the case is, what the protest is about, and more importantly, who is running the protests?
Well, we all know.
That's the significant part.
We know who's been running the protests the last few years.
Yeah.
The crook, Al Sharpton.
Something tells me you don't really like Al Sharpton too much, huh?
I really am. Something about
Reverend Al Sharpton.
Yes.
Something about religion and money.
Mm-hmm.
Like someone else that I know, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, Dollar Bill Joe.
Crespo Dollar. They're all corporate.
Yeah.
No, that's all I'm saying.
But you know, it's all the same thing.
It's all the same thing. I'm like, I understand you want to do some good for the community.
It costs money.
It costs money. But how can I do good for the community if I give the community $1,000 but I'm making $20 million?
Yeah.
Something got to give. I'm just saying. But carry on.
Yeah. It's like I said, it depends on the cause. It depends on what the actual crime or whatever they're disputing is and who is in charge of it. That is probably going to have the biggest influence on if that does work. Well, all the protests that we saw in Ferguson, I mean, basically, Ferguson was shut down for about 3 months.
True. But Ferguson was a different case. And the way it's sad about this kid had a history. I mean, I love it when someone, they like to bring up the negative of someone.
Yes.
Like when they did of Scott. Okay, yes, he owed child support payments. Does that make him a bad guy? Because compared to Mike Brown, yes, he was killed unarmed once again.
Yeah.
But they bring up all his past.
That's
like,
the character assassination that tends to
happen. Like, there's a reason why he should be killed.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, he robbed the store. Yes, he have a history of God knows what. But is that a reason for him to be shot?
Did they talk about how much he cared for his children? Did they talk about maybe he does community service to help people in the neighborhood? You don't hear anything.
He's a veteran.
About, exactly.
He's a Coastal Guard veteran.
Yeah.
But
you don't hear any of that. The first thing that happens is to somewhat discredit who that person is going into trying to defend what that cop did.
Because that's what makes the person sell.
Exactly. And it's all based, well, as I said before, it's all about money.
So,
the first three words that you read in that article was a black criminal or a black suspect shot by a white cop. That's the first words that come out of that first.
That sentence is what we sell that paper.
Exactly.
Because people love that type of negative.
Of course they do.
People love that back feed of, once again, a black man with a history record should be down.
Well, that's why I said earlier that if people would stop playing into this and, you know, start focusing and putting more positive things. So many positive things are going on in white communities, black communities, Asian communities, and no one hears about it.
And
but
problem is
people don't want to buy positive.
But that's sad. But that is really why that happens. Like, you hear about it because it sells.
Yeah, and that's all that matters.
Yes,
that's really
true.
All that matters. You hear all the negatives that go on. When any kind of positive program or maybe some sort of town hall meeting, things of that nature happen, you don't hear anywhere near as much press.
No.
The only way that you're going to get anything positive happening is somebody takes some initiative and actually tries to get something going. Maybe a celebrity, maybe someone in the particular neighborhood that's been afflicted with that particular instance, and do something. Because it's not going to change the way it is currently constructed right now.
Like, for instance, did you know there's a community center in this neighborhood?
Hmm.
Did you know it's run by a nun?
Wow. Okay.
And they do a lot of good. They take in, they've taken prostitutes, junkies, anything. Shelter, community center. But you don't hear about it.
Exactly.
Why? Because it's not newsworthy. But it's done a lot for this neighborhood.
Good news doesn't sell.
That's
and that's
true.
The problem. That's the reason why I have a friend of mine that does not watch the news because he cannot stand the bad news that's always on. The first thing, if it's not something weather-related, it's always breaking news. Somebody was killed.
Yeah.
Breaking news. Somebody got run over by a car. Breaking news, somebody's house is on fire. It's nothing, you never hear anything about,
breaking news.
The nun helped 55 people that were homeless get a shelter, get themselves a house. That never leads off because salacious news and hard news, they have to get the audience to get the ratings up to keep people tuned into that channel or to read that newspaper or read that blog or listen to that talk show.
Mm.
And that's what works.
And unfortunately, until that changes, which it never will.
No.
This is what you're
going to
see.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have another scenario for you.
All right.
Another race card.
All right.
No, Scott, he had a broken tail light and child support payment.
Okay.
Remember the Dark Knight shooting that happened, I forgot where?
In Colorado.
Colorado,
yeah. Yeah.
And
I remember that.
Yeah, so the guy that went to the movie theater, started shooting up people, he murdered 12 people. wounded 58. He had three automatic weapons with him, but they caught him alive.
Of course.
So you figure something like that, you would shoot the guy down right away.
Yes.
But he got caught alive. Well, you hear the same story of unarmed black men shot to death.
Yeah.
Is there a crazy scenario going on over here that I don't know about?
It's disproportionate to what actually should happen.
That's a different circumstance.
I will almost guarantee.
You weren't there, of course.
I will almost guarantee if this was somebody of African American descent, if he was of Hispanic descent,
a minority,
he would not have lived to be arrested.
That's what I'm talking about.
And that's a disproportionate. It's sad, but that's usually what the story, that's the narrative.
Because of racial profile. Because I see a black man with a gun, I'm going to shoot him down.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to bring up to you, Anitra. Some of you guys could get away with murder. Not all, from what that we know about. Anitra carry a gun, get shot in the leg, thank you for coming, you go to jail.
Yeah.
Sean carry a knife. You get
bringing a knife to a gunfight. Yeah.
Bingo. You get 25 bullets.
Yeah.
25 bullets. So I'm like, okay, the racial profile is in all of us. Were you black, Asian? If I see a black man, I'm scared for my life. But why? Because of the media.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the way the media portray us.
Yeah.
And it's very sad that a guy like this that murdered 12 people
is
still alive today.
Yeah, just so he can stand trial.
But if the black man or Asian man or minority did it, he deserved to die.
Oh, even better.
On the spot, he deserved to die.
Look at what happened with the Boston Marathon trial that's going on. Obviously, that case is a little bit different in the fact that his defense was he went in saying, I know I killed a bunch of people. So it was not like his guilt was really in question. But the fact that he was able to stay alive long enough to stand trial, because if you remember the day he was arrested, He was hiding inside of a boat that somebody had at someone's house in the area and got into a shootout with the cops. Now, if this was, I believe, an African American that did this or if it was anything else, he would not have lived that long because the cops have a point to make that we have somebody that is doing homegrown terror that is killing innocent people for no reason other than to just be an idiot and further a political agenda, we have to make an example of. And I don't think it would have gone, what was it, 3 days that he was on the loose? His brother was killed.
Yeah.
3-day chase until they finally got into the gun battle. He basically was shot up, and then they finally took him to the hospital and they arrested him, and then the rest is
they kept him alive because they want to study him, get questions.
Yes.
Or interrogation.
Yeah. Although it's a different case, it's the same scenario on some level.
Anybody would want to get into that person.
Of course.
Yeah.
But
do you want to know why he wasn't?
Yeah.
Of course. But once again, if it's a minority, you know what? He's a terrorist anyway.
And you want to know something? The line of questioning wouldn't have been presented. Why would this black guy do all of this stuff? They wouldn't even ask him that. That wouldn't even be presented
they
as
would
an
make
option.
They would make up a story. He's part of ISIS. That's all. I'm like, a black guy in ISIS?
Really?
Really? Hey, you never know.
And this is the difference in thinking that if you're African American and then you try to peer into how white America looks at law enforcement, how they look at other black people. And then if you go the opposite direction, it's a completely different thought process how white people think of black people in that same situation. And in a lot of the higher-ups, and when you get a little higher as far as the power structure goes, there's a complete disconnect between blacks and whites. And then it continues to get perpetuated and gets further and further away from what is evident. You know, you can bring them closer to understanding differences, but nothing ever really seems to get done, and that's the problem. So you're going to have these kinds of instances happen because in a lot of instances, the thought process is the black person's life doesn't mean as much as the white person's life. And unfortunately, that's the thought process that goes on through a lot of the country, and that's why it's as scary as it is. If you're a young black man, you go out in the street. You know, when the Trayvon Martin case happened, how many times did you hear on the news, if you're black, don't wear a hoodie in the street. Please don't, because a cop will shoot you. And it's like, well, why should I have to be told what not to wear?
I'm sorry, but if I'm walking late at night down the street, I don't care if you are black, white, Chinese, if you are dressed like a hood rat, I'm crossing the street.
Yeah. There are black people that will get away from another black person wearing.
We've had this conversation before.
Yeah.
It's a fact. I don't care what your skin color is. If you were dressed like a hood rat,
yeah.
I'm crossing the street.
Yeah.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is absolute truth with your host, the Hot Rod.
Yeah, it's absolute truth.
Hey, I'm sober right now. That's the problem.
Go get some cranberry juice.
I am the Hot Rod, Sean Black, Anisha B. The number is to call to tell us what you think is 347-989-8402. That is 347-989-8402.
He can count. Oh, my goodness. Yay! He can read and count. That education does well.
It's the water.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Back to you guys. I asked Sean this question on Friday, and this is something you need to think about very carefully. I mean, we all know the answer, but of course, this basically the topic is about racial profiling
okay.
and the police brutality and, you know, police abusing their power. Well, the overall picture of racial profiling hasn't gotten to a different level or mainstream ever since President Obama has taken office?
No, I think now it's all about social. Everything's on social media, so it's blown up a lot more than it would have, like, say, 10 years ago.
No, I think because since President Obama has taken office, there's people that still have problems of having a black president or having a successful black president. As for
That's me, cool.
Here we go. People portray him as a successful black president or successful president.
I'm sorry, if I can go back to the poll, I take my vote away.
Why? Because he's black?
No. Because he's actually irrelevant. Really? Totally irrelevant.
I'm just asking
the
question.
This is the kind of discussion that happens all around the country.
Exactly.
The
color
of his skin has absolutely nothing to do with the fact whether or not he can do the job. I don't think he's as qualified as someone else.
Yes, social media has, you know, bring racial profiling up, but this is the topic everybody keeps talking about. If Obama was white, the country would be better, or he was Spanish, or I should have voted for Hillary Clinton instead.
Yeah. See, one of the things that has happened with, and this kind of goes kind of part and parcel with what we're talking about now. But basically, what happens is that there is always that perception that white America, especially along the Bible Belt, is looking into, we want to get our country back. We have this communist that's our president is doing this and doing that, and is changing up everything. And the thing that I look at is not necessarily the reactions, it's also the vitriol that I hear in the voices of the people that criticize the president. It's not the same as, you know, when we criticized George Bush, which we all know was a complete idiot.
Yeah.
Everybody knew that, including his own constituency. So that goes without saying. But there was a level of disrespect that I've seen people disrespect George Bush. But a lot of the disrespect that came at him was warranted. A lot of the disrespect that I see with Obama is just downright really tacky, evil, underlying.
But there's a race card in it.
There were a lot of things that Obama has done in office that he should make, you know, bring to light. Like when he got into office for his second term, unemployment was at 9%. It's down to 5.5%. He said he would bring it down. Some of his the people that were running against him were saying that. I think it was Mitt Romney said, "Well, if I become president, I'll bring down unemployment to 5.5% by the end of my first term." Obama has done that already. I don't hear anybody saying anything positive toward any of the programs that he's brought up that's actually helped the economy.
Okay.
We have universal health care, which is something that hasn't been done.
Hold that thought, Sean.
Excuse me. No.
Hello, caller. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hello. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes. Hello?
Oh, it's Milton X, everybody.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
So what's your intake about this?
About the man who got, you know, killed in South Carolina, or just,
yeah,
you know, or that situation. Well, it's obviously a tragic situation. Thank goodness there was a videotape, because the difference between this situation and the Mike Brown situation to me is there is a videotape. If there wasn't, the man who got shot here would have been paying the same way that Mike Brown was. You know, mm-hmm. So we're lucky in that standpoint, because basically the dude shot him in the back 8 times while running, had a nerve to handcuff him, taser, and put it by the dead body so he just insinuate that he stole it or something. I'm surprised they ain't put no cocaine on his body or something like that neither.
That would have been the next step, probably.
Well, maybe it wasn't enough time to do that.
So make assumptions.
Right, you know,
so you never know. Stuff like that happens all the time.
It didn't happen.
Yeah.
But guarantee, if there was enough time, Milton X is right.
You're making assumptions. You know what happens to people make assumptions, right?
We don't know
if there would have been cocaine involved, but the fact that the stuff that happened is bad enough. So it doesn't.
Right.
You don't even need to even add an assumption to it.
So,
nope.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So my point is, we as a people got to be more mindful of what's going on out here, because this is a bigger issue. Basically, there's a legalized lynching going on here. This is the cold, hard reality. Whether you're young and black or older and black, you have the potential to be lynched. And this is what's going on. You look at the news out here, you see these white supremacists out here, you know, hunting down black people. One case where an older white man spit on an older black woman. Fortunately, she was a judge, so now he's going to be prosecuted for that. So, and if you look around what's going on, all these little attacks, and also another thing I'm not mentioning, these little racist emails amongst the police. And the situation in L.A., situation in San Francisco, where these emails came out, all these racist stuff being, or prejudice stuff of the blacks being spit out by police. There's a mindset going on here.
Profiling, once again.
It ain't even just profiling. It's deeper than that. It's like, we're about to raise up and put these black folk in line. That's why we got to get ourselves together as a unit. We got to stop the infighting and get on the same page. Get a code and have an agenda. Because if we don't, we're going to get taken out.
Do you agree, Anisha? Anisha's quiet. She don't agree with you. she's afraid to tell you. She's afraid to tell you what's on her mind.
We also, here's another thing that we also see as far as that whole racial slant, is that we're seeing a lot of gentrification in a lot of areas.
Whoa, that's a big word.
Yeah, that's a big word.
Oh, snap.
With a capital G, no less. Yeah. But, we're seeing a lot of that happening now, where you have areas that were predominantly one particular race, the Hispanic neighborhood, the African-American neighborhood, the Asian-American neighborhood, and you're seeing, because of the white people that are getting a lot of money and power and buying up real estate in certain areas, they're moving into areas that would usually be lower cost for a lot of minorities that have lived in those neighborhoods 40, 50, 60 years, and you're starting to see now a lot more of the minorities that lived in that neighborhood are disappearing. You're seeing more Caucasian Americans moving into those neighborhoods, and they're making the property value go up now. It is becoming harder to afford to live in those neighborhoods.
So basically, if the white people start moving to the black neighborhood, everything goes up.
Everything goes up, and you get outpriced in your own neighborhood. So then you're kind of almost forced to move out if you can't keep up with what's going on. In certain neighborhoods that normally would be predominantly African American, you see a lot of African Americans that move out of the neighborhood. You know what? I'm going to move down to Atlanta. I'm going to move down to Florida or Virginia. It's cheaper way of life. You move down south, you realize it's not what you want. You want to come back up to where you were. Your property went up 600%. So now you have no place to go, and then you're kind of like, well, I'm out of something.
So thanks to the white people,
you're blaming
black, the white, because of the white people, we are moving out.
You sound
it's not necessarily because the white people per se, it's because the black people don't have any money together.
Because of the white people, we have to move out.
I know plenty of black men and women who are homeowners, who own their own businesses, who have flourished in their own way.
I'm not saying that it's like that across the board. What I'm saying is there are certain pockets in this country that have minorities, like neighborhoods that are predominantly a particular minority, where because of, let's say, just the people in the neighborhood decide, you know what, it's better, let me just move out of the neighborhood. I've been here all my life, let me move on. And they move out.
True.
Then you have, because of those vacancies that are happening, you having Caucasian people coming into the neighborhood, buying up some of the property, living there, and then they're bringing friends, they're bringing other people, they're learning, oh, you know what, it's much more affordable than what we're used to, let's move here. Now, the people that moved out, they realize where they moved to was not necessarily what they thought it was. So they want to move back into the neighborhood, maybe get another house in the same area. Property's going up, they're outpriced, they can't come back in.
So the black people are out, and we become homeless or live in a project.
And that kind of perpetuates that
black
cycle.
Black people with no money, put it that way.
Black people with no money,
now,
Black
people got the money, right, you can do whatever you want to. So that's what I'm saying on economic level. It's not necessarily black or white, it's also about money, too. So
true, of course, but it's harder for us as a man. Me and my girlfriend, we work hard, but we like to buy a home. But now, since the white people are moving in, the property value has gone up, which is making it harder for us to afford these homes now. That's what we're trying to say. Because of the white people, they don't want us around too much. They don't want lower middle class people overall. They want upper rich white kids. The hippies to come move over here, right? That's what they really want.
Really?
Yes.
The demographic is
changing. This is the thing, right, with white people. They have an agenda. They have, you know, their way of doing things. See, us as a black folk, we just too scattered. We don't have like an agenda. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you over here, I'm over there. We all try to do our own things instead of, you know, getting together. Like I said last week about, you know, owning your own businesses, you know what I'm saying, group economics. So we were more, all of us were more on it like that, so we could insulate ourselves from other people trying to move in. You
know what I'm saying?
Because other races, let's say the Latinos. I work in Queens a lot. I know certain areas, the Latinos got that. I know certain areas, the Asians got that. Other places, I know white people got that. I can't really say where the black neighborhood is. I'm talking about the Africans that come over here. I'm talking about the American blacks. You can't say, oh, this is the black neighborhood. You know what I mean? You can tell where the Asians are. You can tell because they got the whole business, got that whole area locked. I went to Flushing up there. That's the Asians. Corona, Northern Boulevard, whatever, that's the Latinos, especially the Colombians, things of that nature. So my point is, where is the section where the black folk is at? We ain't got it like that. That's what I'm talking about. We need to get our economic game together for that.
Hold on, no. You disagree? Defend yourself on these
things. I kind of like the fact that everything has become a melting pot. I like the fact that this name is predominantly this, but, and this is predominantly that, but. I like that. I myself grew up in a gut.
Well, that explains a lot of things about you.
Shut up. But I like the fact that things have changed. Things have progressed. I like that. I like the fact that I can walk down Myrtle Avenue. I never had to start down there, but I'm just saying. I like that now that I can walk around with any designer or whatever on me and nothing's going to happen to me.
So you're happy that most black people are moving out?
No, I just like the fact that all the neighbors have become a melting pot. It's irrelevant to me who's moving in to say, I just like the fact that it's a melting pot. I like the fact that you go to school and you see an Asian black, while you see all these and kids and they're all friends and they're all getting along.
Yeah.
That wasn't the case when we were kids.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Because as we saw in the past, the segregation does not work.
Yeah. And even going back to those days when you had the separate neighborhoods, there was a lot of racism within against others coming into the neighborhood.
Enough of it. You had a white friend at age 11.
Yeah.
Or 12. That's what I'm saying. Now, yes, it's still out there. Racism is always going to be a part of our world.
Yeah.
But lot of people don't want to, you know, stuff like that is what we should be emphasizing on. Because racism is going to be here every time.
Wow, Anisha B is very passionate about this right now.
Because it's ridiculous. I've been around for my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think about President Obama?
This isn't about Obama.
You know, the racial profile has blown up since Obama has taken office?
Yeah, the president's way, there's no doubt about the correlation that ever since Obama's been in office, the upfront racism quotient in America has definitely risen. You know what I'm saying? There's no doubt about that. But which is not a surprise. Well, anytime you have a black man in a so-called position of power, even though I know there's people that even Obama has to answer to, that's what's going to get the white supremacists in an uproar, whether you like it or not. But the problem is we I'm looking at us, we don't, like, take advantage of the situation. We expect Obama to do automatically do stuff that benefits black folks, but we don't contribute to the campaign enough. We got to put the money behind that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, in one sense, you know, it's good that Obama's there, but we may not be using the fact that we have a black man in our office to our fullest extent due to the fact we don't really understand what the politics is really like. We think, okay, well, if a black man in office, racism over with, that's it, we ain't got to do no more. Nah, ain't really the case. You got to do more.
And that's been the perception.
And we don't really see it like that. And we don't really see it like that. And then when all this racial things come up, like, what the hell is going on? But, you know, like I said before, it's just deeper than just, you know, Obama being there or, you know, incident with the police, stuff like that. It's a whole deeper situation because right now, as I see certain things, it's like, as a people, we got to get the alarm got to be sounded because we need a tough time right here.
Because
going on is, if we don't get it together, people going to be wiped out. Because we got to get build families and businesses and communities. It's community-based together. That's why other races are ahead of us. Because we don't
Milton
have
X,
community-based
I need to,
together.
I need to stop you for a minute, Milton X. I have another caller coming on the air. Hold on.
All right.
All right, later. Hello, caller, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, yes?
Hello?
Hello, hi.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you guys. I'm on the air now?
Oh. Yeah, you're on the air now, Max.
I didn't want to hear the show live. I didn't want to be on the air.
Well
you can't get any more live than this.
What's the point if it's not live?
I'm in the locker room right now getting changed. I just wanted to hear the show live.
Okay.
What the? I'm going to be careful now, bro. I got cut up here, bro. What the heck?
Okay. Max, go to blogtalkradio.com and type in the absolute truth. And you can listen to us live, all right?
Listen, what are you guys talking about anyway? Because I'm ready to get in shape. What are you guys talking about?
We're talking about white cop, black man being killed.
Oh, great. I definitely got set up. I'm out of this one.
Okay, talk to you later, Max. Thank you.
All right. You know what? No, I'm for the sake of the show, because it'll sound entertaining. Exactly. Where did you guys leave off?
I'm like, what's your input? I'm like, you know what? We have another story of a white cop killing a black man, as always.
All right. So basically, you guys. All right. So what's so far? Where's it stand between you guys? How many of you guys are there right now? Just you three
Listen,
guys.
We've been doing this show for an hour and 15 minutes now. There's too much to talk about.
All right. I'll make it plain and simple. I'm gonna wrap it up by saying in my roll call of the on Thursday morning in our roll call, they sent us a page, and it was sent out to the New York State. Police department, because we are under the New York State Police Department, and they said be advised and be very cautious in regards to civilians and pedestrians asking questions in regards to this particular issue. And of course, myself wearing the uniform, I'm a target. So, of course, I got so many talks so many questions in regards to the issue between the cop that actually shot the individual. And they asked questions as far as what would have happened and what's the stake of the situation. So as we know right now, the union may process the gentleman to seek legal, but as far as anything else, they staying out of it. Because, of course, everything is bad. It's visibly there. It's once it's there, that's it. They came out of it. So he's on his own. The gentleman actually has a child being about to be due any minute, his first child. And he's a stepfather of two other kids with this new wife. His wife is only, I think he's been married for 2 years with this woman. So he's the first dad to be, and he's been in the force for like 13 years.
And now he might be going to jail soon.
He will be going to jail. It's evidence is right there. And the individual that videotaped the whole thing, he had a second in regard to turning it in, just seconds away from erasing it and deleting it. And his conscience just said, let me send it out and do it. And he's a Dominican individual. He's from Dominican Republic. And he had a second.
Well, Matt, with the crazy system, do not be surprised if you walk away, the officer.
Well, you see, I know what you're saying because it dates back to other cases, as like the Gardner case and everything else. But things are changing now, and I believe we also got a fact that there's going to be a protest happening soon in Union Square by the 14th of April, which is a couple of days away. We already got that fax over to our headquarters. They're going to protest because our mayor is inviting family members from who had certain similar situations in regards to law enforcement officers killing their loved ones.
Oh,
so
that's
he's inviting family members from different states to come to New York City.
This is, remember we talked a little earlier about when protests happen, we got to have the right people and the right connection. Something like this may actually work. If you get the right people, you got. If you say that the mayor is going to be part of this, this might happen.
The mayor,
the mayor is inviting this.
Yes, the mayor trying to build his relationship with the police, NYPD, you know.
Of course.
Remember, they have a little tidbits. I should do the show there live then.
At the protest.
Man. Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, go ahead, guys. I'm going to try to go on the blog and listen to the rest. Good luck, guys.
Right,
thanks
for
the setup.
All right.
No problem.
All right.
Oh,
wow. That's like our most calls we had.
Yeah,
on the show.
You finally figured out how to use the board.
Well, a little bit, you know.
There.
I'm getting there day by day. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is Absolute Truth with your host, the Hot Rod, Sean Block, and Anitra B. Sean Block, final thought of today.
Well, the fact that we brought this up is a step in the right direction because it's always something that we're going to talk about, no matter what, whether it's on the air, whether it's amongst us, friends, off air, family members, whatever is the case. There's always going to be the ideal of what's behind, if you can kind of legislate what a person is racially, what you think about them, stereotypes, those kinds of things happen. The problem is, how do you get over those stereotypes and make sure that it doesn't go into everyday life and make you your decision-making as evil as some of the other people that are out. And that's part of the problem, is trying to make sure that if you have a particular negative thought about a race or religion, talk to somebody in that situation and try to, you know, so they can allay your fears away from everything so that you can actually go ahead and say, you know what, I have thoughts about this. Could you explain to me why this, before it gets to the point where we have these kinds of things happening on a regular basis, and it doesn't get any better, all it does is get worse. And I think that's what the issue is.
Okay. Anitra B., final thoughts?
No, I agree.
Thank you.
Oh, great. Here we go. We have unity over here. Black man, white lady. They're shaking hands. God bless America. Go ahead.
I don't know. I mean, realistically, stuff like this is always going to be headlines.
Okay.
We might even be talking about it next week. You never know.
You never know.
It's always going to be headline news because it's what the media wants. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately. I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Okay.
Sad, but it's true.
Yes. Well, the Hot Rod final thought.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Yes, here we go.
Dun, dun, dun.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are some good cops and there are bad cops.
True.
Unfortunately, the bad cop is getting most attention.
Yes.
But once again, we always focus on the negativity. We have friends that are cops.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel sorry for them. You know, and there are cops who risk their lives every day to serve and protect us.
Exactly.
And, you know, perfect example, the two cops that lost their lives a few months ago were some random guy that went up to them and shot them.
Just came from Baltimore, you know.
From Baltimore and shot the two cops. They was in their car just doing their job, and they lost their lives for us. Despite what's going on in this crazy world, we cannot forget there are good people out there. There are good cops. At the same time, parents, hug your children. Tell them how much you love them, because you never know the next time they're coming home or not.
Mm-hmm.
I am a father of one. I'm a new father. And when I hear these stories, I think about my son right away, because I don't want anything to happen to my son, of course. But as a father, I need to teach my son the truth of how to be careful. If you see a cop, don't run away from a cop. When the cop asks you for ID, give it. Do not give him a hard time. Because why? He's a young black man. Due to his racial profiling, will still continue in time. We have to teach our kids, especially young minority kids, to be careful and do the right thing and be smart about it. Don't try to be a tough person. There's no need to give a cop a hard time.
Exactly.
You know, cops will harass you, let them do their job. There might be a reason. But it's better to show your ID. It's better to get arrested than being 6 feet under.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And this message going out to the black men out there. Because we're black. What's that for, Anita?
Black by association.
You know.
Oh,
yeah.
Goodness.
But to the black men out there, believe it or not, we are at war every day. Not just with the cops, not just with the white man or racism. We're in war with ourselves also. We have to be careful of how we portray ourselves out there also. We don't need black men standing in line buying stupid Jordans or hanging out in the corner doing nothing. We need to become more leaders.
Yeah.
We need to teach our young children, instead of becoming a basketball player, become a basketball player and owner.
Exactly.
Be an owner at the same time. We need more NFL owners. We cannot teach our young black men to go out there and become a football player, become a basketball player to get the easy money.
Yeah.
Become an owner. Become the next Bill Gates.
Mm-hmm.
Become the next Steve Jobs. That's what I want to teach my son when he gets older. Don't be a follower, be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last thing a white man wants to see and is afraid of, it's not a gang member, it's not us protesting. The thing that the white man is afraid of is an educated black man, believe it or not. Knowledge is power. The more you educate yourself, the more powerful you will be. And guess what? You don't need the white man money. You can build your own money, invest.
And when he says build your own money, he says he's going to have his own face on a $100 bill. That's what I mean.
It could happen. Oh, let's take this last caller before we go. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Yeah. Just got a call back. Yeah, because I got cut off or whatever. But I appreciate what you were saying just now about building your own money. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what it's really about. See, I could come on here and talk about, you know, racism, this, that, and the third. You can do the same thing. But we're still dependent on that same system economically, then what's going to change? You know what I mean?
We have
all the marching. Exactly. We have to change. We need to bring back, you know, the Black Wall Street situation, but on a bigger level.
When we was in segregation, we had more businesses than we do now. We need to get back to that, getting them business together. And just keeping the money within our own community. That's how we destroyed the whole racist structure with our dollar. You know what I mean? We could cross for Black Power all day and night. We go to Best Buy at the end of the week. It doesn't mean
that's going to be next week's show. And Anisha will co-host that show by herself.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. We got to look at ourselves differently. And we got to unite with each other on a whole bunch of levels.
Yes.
And but the main level is economically, because that's how you hit white supremacy down, with the money. Because take for instance, remember that law in Indiana about, you know, religious freedoms and this, that, and the third.
Yeah.
And all the businesses down that, right? You know why they down that? Because they didn't want to lose the gay dollar.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, but there's no fear of losing the Black dollar. They know we're going to keep on buying crap. They ain't got to worry about it. But once we put that fear in them that they can lose the Black dollar, then everything will change.
And that's the main thing, the issue that needs to be taught. That there are communities out there that have just as much, if not more money, in a lot of different neighborhoods and different areas that could legitimately hurt businesses if that money is pulled away from
them. Exactly. And see, what it is, it's just like, you know, we was taught as young people, we get an education and get a job, right? Now we got to teach it. Now, 2015, you got to tell your children, get an education and create a job.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? There's a difference there. Be the boss instead of being the employee.
Amen.
That's what has to change.
Okay, you know, well, I'm sorry to cut you off, but we have to sign off now.
Yeah, and we'll do more drinking. I understand.
Yeah, of course I have to stop my drinking. I've been sober for 4 hours by now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah,
oh, Lord.
His eyes are starting to turn green now.
Yeah.
So.
Guys.
Uh-oh. Oh, but thank you so much for calling. Tune in next week, though. We will continue the conversation. All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much from the bottom of our heart for listening to the show. We will do this again next week, hopefully at the same time, 4 o'clock Sunday.
Yes.
But, you never know. We're always busy. At least Sean and I, we've been doing the show.
One show.
I'm your host, the Hot Rod, a.k.a. the King of Kings, with
Sean Black.
And Anitra B.
And ladies and gentlemen, as always, the pleasure was all
yours.
Now end this episode.
Yeah.
Are you want to end this? No.
No.